I'd like to start with the proposition, which I think is unassailable, theologically, religiously unassailable, and that is this. God and the God of Jesus and Jesus is not against authority, but is absolutely against authoritarianism. In fact, authoritarianism is the very opposite of authority. There's a famous book I'd like to read sometime called The Authoritarian Personality, which is an attempt to spell out this tendency in us to want to do what is the hallmark of any authoritarian person or office, which is to control. The Latin is very interesting. To control means contra, against, to rule against. The family of words, if you look in the Latin dictionary, which deal with control, take on coerce, the word coerce, restrain, limit. Whereas authority means to make, to grow. That's the philological origin of the word authority. And so you can see why they're opposites. They contradict each other. Nobody can control another person. When we're talking about adults here, we're not talking about little kids, because the gospel is written neither for, by, nor about little kids. Nobody is going to help somebody to grow who attempts to control them. And we all know that, even though none of us brings it off very well, either resisting a temptation to control or to resist the temptation to be controlled. Because they're both temptations. They're both resistances to growth. All this is really important because of this text from Matthew, which is unique to Matthew. Because as I said a couple of weeks ago, Matthew's community is very interesting in that by the year 85, when it was very clear that the end of the world, the return of Jesus, the judgment of the world was not going to take place, the Matthean community began to be institutionalized, bureaucratized, if you will. That is, the initial enthusiasm had waned and said, now we got to get organized. And so you had in Matthew this passage, and only in Matthew, you are Peter and upon this rock, I will build my church. Only in Matthew do you have that. But also only in Matthew do you have that other passage, call no one father, because you have one father, and he is in heaven. Call no one teacher, because you are all equals. The point being, as I suggested a couple of weeks ago, that already in the Matthean church, as soon as institutionalization, bureaucratization begins to set in, then the danger of authoritarianism becomes very real and is realized. So what we have here, which is also peculiar to Matthew, is a procedure for dealing with differences in a community. And the procedure is extremely important. You notice it doesn't say, go tell the boss, and he or she will begin to knock heads. Which, unfortunately, is the way things operate in the world and in the church often enough. Now, you go to this person and say, we have a problem, you and I. If that doesn't work, then you take a couple of other people. Try to discuss them. If that doesn't work, then you tell the community and say, this person is absolutely resistant to reconciliation. And so when it says treat them as a Gentile, it just says acknowledge the fact that they don't want to be reconciled. Please note, there is no coercive no controlling impulse throughout this whole process. And this is supposed to be the way we are to operate as a church. Radically different from the way anything operates outside the church. The church is not General Motors or ABC. Rather, the church is supposed to be the people of God, where everybody is equal. And to be an authority in the church is only to have a particular position which helps people to grow in a particular area of their lives. And that's it, folks. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And anything that diverges from that breaks up the community. Anything that diverges from that destroys the possibility of people treating each other as equals. And Paul, of course, in his usual skillful way, sums up the whole thing. Don't owe anybody anything except love them. That's all. And that's as true in the Methodian church it was as it was in the Pauline churches, where there's not even a question of bureaucratization or institutionalization. There's no evidence of that at all in any of the Pauline churches. That came later, when in fact the return of Jesus did not occur as everybody expected it would right away. Just love one another. And again, love, in the evangelical reading of that, is not the desire to possess, as it is for me 90% of the time when I say I love somebody. Rather, love is a radical dispossession. The radical dispossession of my own needs, my own egocentricity, my own appetites to control. And that's what makes a community. It's very interesting that the 18th chapter of Matthew, I recommend it to you, from which this reading came today. And notice, the binding and loosing is given not just to Peter, but to the community here, in this very text. It begins with the question, who's greatest in the kingdom? Remember that? That's also in Mark and Luke. And so Jesus gets a little kid and says, unless you become a child, you cannot be first in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we have all suffered from a kind of spiritual infantilization in the church, but I don't think that's what's faithful to the gospel here. What is being said here is a child is not in control and does not desire to control. It doesn't enter his or her ambit, a real, realistic appetite, I don't think. So it is extremely important that we come to the greatest kind of self-consciousness of what we're being engaged in this business called church.